Good morning and happy Father's Day to all of you fathers out there. And we are excited and also for all the fathers to be that are coming up here too as well. Praise the Lord for that. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much that you are our perfect example of a father. Because of your love, you sent your son Jesus to come and die for us on the cross. You sacrificed him in order that we might have forgiveness of sin, we might have his righteousness, and we might have the security to know that we are yours because of his blood shed on the cross. We praise you for that this morning, for that wonderful, wonderful gift you've given us of our salvation. May we now look to you, and may fathers here be challenged, may each of us be challenged by the word and the principles of this word to live lives that are godly as an example to the young people around us. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a song that we sang this morning. It was called, Lord, I Need You. Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you. And there was a little phrase in that song that says, without you, I would fall apart. And I like that. I love this. It kind of goes along with this little boy's prayer. There's a little boy, and he prayed this. He says, dear God, please take care of my daddy and my mommy and my sister and my brother, and my doggy, and me. And then he says, and oh please, take care of yourself, God. If anything happens to you, we're gonna be in a very big mess. I need you, without you I fail. I think the little boy recognized the truth that we would all do well to remember. Today, more than ever, our homes need God. The little boy recognized that truth. In Psalm 119, verse 10, God says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. Proverbs 1:7 says this. We're talking about my father's house. We're looking at being the father that we should be. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Psalm 127:1. And we go back to that whole principle that my father's house really begins with the fear of the Lord. Because that's where the beginning of knowledge comes about. That's where we learn how we are to be living godly lives for our children. As fathers, we need to recognize God must be first in our own lives, first, right here, so that we can then be wise builders of our family. So we're talking about our house today, our father's house, it's really his. So build your house properly, guys. You want to do that by making sure that you have a very solid foundation. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to the book of Matthew. We're going to read the probably many a very familiar account, but I want to read it together. Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Jesus is speaking to the disciples and to others as he's giving them the foundational truths, as it were. Jesus begins by saying in verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them, he will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. There was a statement made years ago by General Douglas MacArthur. Many of you know him. As he accepted the Father of the Year Award at some point in his life, he says this, and I'm quoting, nothing has touched me more deeply than the act of National Father's Day Committee. By profession, I am a soldier, and I take great pride in that fact, but I am prouder, infinitely prouder, to be a father. You see, a soldier destroys in order to be able to rebuild. The Father only builds, never destroys. It is my hope that my son, when I am gone, will remember me not from the battles, but from the home. What a legacy that he left for his son. As fathers, the challenge to us today, if you're building a foundation, make it your ambition. Make it your ambition to be remembered as this, a man of God. A man of God whose own life, his own life, is built upon the solid foundation of God and his word. Make that your ambition, then, to be able to be that kind of a man. Many homes, as I said earlier today, sadly are built on an improper foundation in their lives. And they're not built on God's word. And they're not built on God's truths. And just as the house built on the sand in Jesus' illustration collapsed and fell when the storms came, when tough times come in those types of families, oftentimes those families and those homes, they crumble and they fall, and there are devastating consequences. Our lives, guys, must first be built upon Jesus Christ. Jesus in Matthew 16:18 said, and he's speaking of himself, he says, upon this rock, being Jesus, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. All real life must begin in Jesus Christ. He must be first our Savior and our Lord. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So here's the bottom line. Apart from Christ, we can do what? We can do nothing. We will definitely fall short in being the father that God intended you and me to be if we do not have him as our foundation. Without his foundation, we can't build a house or a home. So we're going to have a solid foundation. Then when you build a house, what do you have to do? Well, you have to, what I would call, establish your house. To establish means to settle, to stabilize, kind of settling in and stabilizing it. Just as a house needs a wall, needs structures to strengthen and form it, so you too, as a father, your family needs this. Your family needs the structure and the stability that comes from knowledge about God and about his ways. That's the structure of your house, the foundation of the knowledge of the Word of God. Moses understood that if Israel was going to be the nation God wanted it to be, it had to begin in the home. There is a thing called the Great Shema, and it was given during the time of Moses. Turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy. I'm giving you the New Testament and I'm giving you a chance to flip back to the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Chapter 6. We're going to read verses 4 through 9. This is called the Great Shema. It was something that every true and every desiring Israelite understood. They were taught this from the very beginning by their families. It was something that everyone knew. Verses 4 through 9. Follow along with me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall, and underline this, quote, should be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house, and upon your gates. That's a tremendous, tremendous passage. You shall teach them God's words diligently to your sons. When you shall talk of them, when you sit down in your house. The picture there is that every day, in every way, that we are to be presenting to our children the Word of God in some form. When Paul sent Timothy to the Thessalonians, he sent them to strengthen and encourage them as to their faith. He sent them to provide what? Stability through the Word of God and the knowledge of Christ. So we've got to be able to establish your house. Well, how do we, as fathers, provide that stability in your house. How do you do that? What's the practical way that happens? I think there are several ways. Number one, I think by prayer and seeking God's counsel. James, we've been studying in the book of James. And at the very beginning of James, when we look at that first chapter, James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men what? Generously and without reproach. Here's the promise. It will be given to you. Dads, fathers, grandpas, if you ask God for his wisdom and how to deal and how to teach your children, your grandchildren, and maybe even your great-grandchildren, the Word of God, you ask God and he will give you the wisdom. It will also give you the wisdom on how you can deal with the circumstances in your family situation based upon the Word of God. That's the kind of wisdom that God will give you. But he promises he will give it to you, but you've got to ask him. So if you need wisdom about a situation in your family right now, ask God for it. He'll give you that wisdom. I like the faith of a little girl named Jenny. She got a mouching one day, so she asked her mom, Mommy, will you pray to Jesus to make it better? Any of you been here, done that, okay? So Mommy prayed this very brief and very simplistic prayer. And as soon as she got done and she prayed about this ouchie, and she said, Amen, Jenny said this, Oh, Mom, what did he say? What did he say, Mom? Don't you love that? You see, that's the kind of faith that God wants us to have. That anticipatory faith where we're expecting clear and direct answers. Mom, you prayed to him, he should have answered you. What did he give you as an answer? That's what God wants you to do when you come to him. You come to him believing that he's going to give you the answers for the problems and difficulties and the situations in your family circumstances. Well, the other thing that we have to do is not only prayer and seeking God's counsel. In your life as well, you've got to be this. You've got to be consistent. You must and I must be consistent. As you hopefully remember, in the book of James, James also said in chapter 1, verse 17 this. Every good thing bestowed or given, and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is this principle, no variation, no shifting of shadow. God is solid all the time. One of the biggest needs in the life of a child is stability. Many of you are teachers. You know that in your classrooms, you need to provide structure for them. But one of the biggest needs in the life of a child is what? It's stability. They need stability and consistency in every area of the areas of love or discipline or training. Inconsistency will only send mixed signals. And inconsistency will bring about confusion in that young person's life. As an example, if you continually tell your children that there will be consequences for wrong behavior, but you fail to follow up on it, that sends the wrong message. Give you an example. Johnny, if you don't stop screaming, we're not going to go to McDonald's. Well, Johnny doesn't, and you still take him to McDonald's. And that is not consistency. Years ago, when Ann and I were the leaders of a high school group at a church, we were counselors with them, and we took them on. We had a bunch of chaperones, and we had all these kids, and we took them on it was close to 4 hours away. We went to a camping trip. And some of the kids weren't saved. And so we had rules. We made guidelines and rules. And one of the rules, because we knew some of the kids that were going, one of the rules was that there will be no smoking on this trip. Kind of kids we got to deal with. It was fun. So we very carefully set out the parameters. And every kid knew about it. No smoking on this trip. And it was followed by this. If we catch you smoking, and there were other things too, if we catch you, we will take you home. 4 hour trip. We take off, we go on our trip, we get our camping tents all set up. We're out there in the middle of this little forested area, and lo and behold, the very first night, probably 8:30 at night, one little young gal named Anna, guess what she did? And she just smoking a cigarette. You know, she went off to the side, she's smoking a cigarette. And we saw her, we caught her, we talked to her about it. And you know what? Bottom line is this. We ended up taking one of our chaperones and we escorted Anna home for that 4-hour trip because we had to be consistent. Now that's extreme, but in your life, Dad, you need to be consistent. Is it going to be hard? Yes, it's going to be hard, but you need to be consistent when you're dealing with your children because it's for their good and for their benefit that they need to do that. Now, your children, here's the other thing, you know, it's not like every time you do that, you know, we had some tough times with Anna even after that. Of course, other things in her life. But your children may rebel at times. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? At times they may rebel. You stay consistent. In love. And there are going to be times when you need to set limits and boundaries for their good, which may result in some battles that you're going to have to go down. Now, it's going to wear you down, but don't give up, okay? It's going to wear you down, but don't give up. Speaking of boundaries, I love this. Little mom and dad are sitting in the living room and they're reading a portion of the newspaper. And mom comes up and says, according to this, honey, parents should set limits where children are concerned. And dad replies, I agree, and my limit is two. I only want two kids. Now, that's a joke. Seriously, in your lives, there may come a time when your children may rebel, but be consistent, guys. Stand firm in the long haul that will pay off. Be consistent. And then you've got to fill your house. You've established your house, now you've got to fill your house. Once a house has a good foundation, has the walls, has the structure, it then needs to be filled up with furniture and decorations to make it a home. As dads, we need to fill up the rooms of our homes with precious and pleasant riches. Fill it up with your love, guys. That's the first thing, with your love. One of the biggest ways in which we show love to our children is to be what? Aware of their needs. To be aware of the things that they are going through in their lives. And then we should be willing to seek to help them to meet those needs in godly love. There was a farm family that was short of rooms while they were building onto their farmhouse, and they kept their son in a crib even after he had outgrown it. Now the son didn't mind, but one summer evening as he was going to bed, he said, Dad, if we have a good crop this year and it doesn't fail, can I get a bed without the stock rails? Here's the point. Guys, be aware of your kids' needs. You know, you got a kid that's outgrown, his feet are sticking out of the crib. It should be very practical. Oh, I probably should get a bigger bed. That applies to every area of your child's life. Not only the physical needs, but also their spiritual and their emotional needs as well. Be aware of your children. And be aware of their needs so that you can help them. You get the picture from that whole thing. To love your children to the fullest, you've got to know their needs. Jesus gave us the perfect example of a father who's aware of needs when he spoke to the Heavenly Father in Matthew 6. He says, your Heavenly Father knows you need all of these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to them. You need to show them your real love by this, by teaching them that their greatest need in their life is to put God first in their lives. That's the greatest thing you can teach your children. Put God first in your lives. Then you've got to fill your home with the knowledge of the Word of God. Fill it with the knowledge of the Word of God. Be in the Word of God yourself, though, guys, because then you can teach your children God's heart for their lives. Ezra said, he set it purposely to study the law of the Lord and then to practice it, and then he was able to teach. Ezra had to study, then live it out in his own life, then he could teach those, especially his children around him. You can teach how. This is the key. When you have that, you can teach by example. You teach by example that God's Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Allow the Word of God to fill your home. Allow your life to be an example of godly living. It was kind of interesting indeed. Dean and Marge received a happy anniversary card. And it's kind of a cool card because it was given by a couple that were very, very busy. They were very, very, it was a busy time in their life. It was just this last week. And it was Rob and Becca. Rob and Becca sent a card to Dean and Marge on their 61st anniversary. I'm not going to read it all, but they said such a huge milestone, happy anniversary. And here's what they said. Rob and I want to thank you for providing us with such a great example of a godly marriage. We have so many great examples at Golden Point Church. Guys, mothers, set a home that is a godly example for the younger people. Then people like Rob and Becca will pick up on that. It's because they have godly parents. What an example that we have for us. You teach by example. And then you fill your house and you fill your children's lives with what? With your presence. Paul said of his spiritual children in Rome that he hoped to see them on his way to Spain and be helped by them. But more importantly, he just longed to be in their company and to have their fellowship. The point is this, children need to do what? They need to spend time with their fathers and their dads. Spend time with them also in the Word of God. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The famous attorney that received a box from his father for Christmas. And it was a note. Son, this year I give you 365 hours. 1 hour for every day after dinner. It's yours to do whatever you want. You want to talk, we'll be talking. If you want to play, we'll play. If you want to go somewhere, we'll go somewhere. The father kept his promise and spent 365 hours with his son. The son said it was the greatest gift he had ever received from his father. Make time to spend with your children. If you're not a father and you're a grandpa, make time to spend time with your grandchildren. They need your example just as much as the father must be the example. Just as David said to God, in your presence is fullness of joy. That's where the joy should be. So recognize and convey to your children this, that they're a joy to you. You enjoy being with them. Even though at times they may not always be that joy to you, okay? But you need to do that. And that you're glad to have them. Let them know that they care to you. Many of you fathers listening to me are thinking this. My kids are all grown. They're gone. They're out on their own. So I guess I'm off the hook. Wrong. While we may not be able to have the same daily impact on our kids' lives, we definitely should still take every opportunity to continue to pour out into the lives of your grown children. We can share insights we learn from God's Word about what's going on with us. We can keep in touch by phone or by in person, making sure that they are aware that we are always available to give them advice and encouragement. And often we should let them know they are loved and cherished. So, this Father's Day, for all of you guys out there, understand that you are to be God's person for them. Let's be fathers who build, who establish, and fill our homes with children's lives with the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And hopefully one day, they may even say of us that their greatest legacy was our showing them my Father's. Father, we pray that you would help us as fathers, as grandfathers, and even as uncles, Lord, at times, that help us to be the men of God that you want us to be, to show them godly living, a godly man, and how a godly person really lives, to show them the love of Christ, to show them by our presence that we care for them, and that we are aware of their needs, and that we want to help them, to show them the love of God as the greatest legacy that we could do. And then, Lord, that you would help us as we build upon those truths, that we would have a solid foundation for ourselves and also our families. To your glory and to your honor, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we close our service today, we're going to use a song that we did for